Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka, where it's 47 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Today's Monday, September 10th, 2012. I'm Robert Wolsey with Raven News. Two mariners were rescued offshore of Kruzov Island on Saturday morning after their vessel sank the previous afternoon. According to one of the rescued men, whose names have not yet been released, their 35-foot fishing vessel, the Caitlin Ray, sank near Beaver Point Friday afternoon, leaving one man stranded in a fishing tote and the other in the water. The survivor in the water located a survival suit in the debris and donned it. He was later able to swim to shore and flag down rescuers by waving his arms. Coast Guard Sector Juneau received an initial report just after midnight Saturday of the vessel overdue on a trip from Sitka to Cape Edgecombe. Air Station Sitka launched a helicopter within an hour but found no sign of the missing crew. A second helicopter crew conducted a search at first light Saturday morning, and Coast Guard personnel contacted Sitka Mountain Rescue and the Alaska State Troopers for assistance in the search, as well as a boat crew from the Aids to Navigation team in Sitka. Shortly after an Air Station Sitka crew began a third search, the crew of the Alaska State Trooper patrol vessel Courage located a survivor on the beach at Point Amelia. He was hoisted and flown to Sitka. In a fourth search, approximately 2 hours after the rescue of the first survivor, the second man was found floating in the vicinity of Eagle Rock by a Good Samaritan fishing vessel crew who notified the Coast Guard. He was hoisted from the Samaritan vessel and flown to Sitka. Both men were listed in stable condition at the time of their transfer to emergency medical personnel. And again, the Coast Guard has not released the names of those two men rescued on Saturday. Municipal elections are coming up in about 3 weeks. Between now and then, Raven News is profiling the candidates for office. This week, we look at the Sitka Assembly. There are five people running for three seats on the Assembly. KCAW's Ed Ronka begins our series of profiles with a political newcomer.
Matt Hunter might be new on the political scene in Sitka, but he's no stranger to government service. The lifelong resident volunteers for both the fire department and Sitka Mountain Rescue. As for why he's running for office?
Well, I'm not doing it because it's going to be easy, I can tell you that.
He says his interest in being on the Assembly has to do with his desire to live in Sitka for the rest of his life.
I guess I'm really fascinated by how this town works, and that's because I love living here, and I think I can do a good job of weighing the possible solutions to the challenges that face us and picking the one that's the best for the long-term good of Sitka.
Hunter is 30 and a math and physics teacher at Mount Edgecombe High School. He says one of Sitka's biggest long-term challenges is retaining younger residents.
I've seen a lot of talented friends leave town. They get their master's degree at UAS, and there's no job in town that gives them benefits. They're willing to work a job that's not even in their field as long as they can get benefits and make a wage that they can afford to save some money to buy a house.
Hunter describes a community where the price of a home or even the price of monthly rent is well above average.
I know they're not New York City, but we're talking $1,000 a month for a decent apartment in this town. It's nearly impossible for people to ever have hope of buying a home. So affordable housing would have to be the number one challenge facing our town.
He says the community needs more small lots on the market and therefore more small homes that people have a chance to afford. His other priorities include completing the Blue Lake Hydro expansion.
We have to have that affordable power because that's what allows our seafood producers to be in town, and it's what makes it possible for a lot of businesses and residents to live here.
Recent bids for raising the dam were nearly double engineers' estimates. Hunter says he's hopeful that the state will help out and that he knows it's expensive, but that walking away from the project is out of the question.
It's not an option for a town. Whether we spend $100 million building that dam or $100 million on diesel fuel over the next decade, we're going to be spending money.
Hunter also says the commercial fishing fleet needs more resources, including sufficient haul-out facilities. Right now, Sitka has one haul-out. Hunter says the city probably cannot afford to operate its own or even to incentivize a private haul-out, but that it should take an active role in encouraging some more marine services development.
If there's a way to do it without cutting the legs out from under existing businesses, we need to support that because that's what our fishing fleet needs to stay here. And perhaps we can employ locals with a decent jobs and keep our fishing fleet here, both of which are very important things.
Hunter has a whole list of ideas he prepared for this campaign. They include allowing residents to harvest timber from the soon-to-be-flooded Blue Lake Valley, continue city contributions to nonprofit organizations, incentivize City Hall employees to find efficiencies and cost-saving measures, and develop a master plan for the roads, determining which low-use streets could possibly revert to gravel. That could save the city millions, he says, rather than upping vehicle registration fees on residents. And he says whether any of those come to fruition should be based on input not just from the assembly, but from the community at large.
I like to think of myself as somewhat humble in that I recognize that when I talk, I'm not learning anything. I'm not really listening to other people. And the more minds you can involve in solving a problem, the smarter you're going to be.
And although Sitka has its problems, Hunter says it also has a history of adapting.
The mill closed. The town has moved on. We've got tourism in a bit of a decline. The town is going to move on, and we're going to succeed.
Hunter says he wants to add optimism to an assembly discussion that often borders on the pessimistic.
People talk about how hard it is and how hard it's going to get. And I agree, it's harder now than it was a few years ago for local businesses and for people to afford to live here. However, I have hope for the future. I know that our town is going to adapt and grow.
And Hunter says he wants to be the one helping make decisions now that he'll be able to appreciate decades into the future. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Hunter is on the assembly ballot with Phyllis Hackett, Michelle Putz, Aaron Swanson, and Dallas Peavy. The municipal election is October 2nd. Federal officials will not take over management of waters from the state around Admiralty Island, at least for now. They recently rejected a petition from Angoon's Native Corporation aimed at increasing subsistence salmon harvests. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld has details.
Angoon's Village Native Corporation sent the federal government an unusual request in May of 2010. Coots Nuu Incorporated filed a petition asking for extraterritorial jurisdiction that would allow the feds to stop or limit salmon fishing in state-managed waters near Angoon on western Admiralty Island. The petition said commercial seiners in the Chatham Strait area were taking too many sockeye salmon, reducing the run of fish in an important subsistence harvest. The corporation claimed the state had failed to manage for the subsistence priority required under federal law. The feds recently said no to the petition. Instead, they deferred action for 3 years to allow for a negotiated solution.
There was a strong desire and feeling there and support from stakeholders to come together and work out a locally based decision.
That's Beth Pendleton, Alaska Regional Forester for the U.S. Forest Service. The decision, sent to Coots Nuu in late August, was signed by Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack and Secretary of the Interior Ken Salazar. Pendleton says it echoed recommendations from two federal subsistence panels.
Their intention is to support the Southeast Regional Advisory Council and Federal Subsistence Board in deferring a decision on the petition to allow time for parties to come together and develop a locally developed solution to the issues.
The decision is not what Coots Nuu asked for, but Corporation President and General Manager Peter Nowrose says it at least focuses attention on the problem.
I see this as part of this long process that we've been undertaking. It appears as if we're taking a step forward, and it appears as if the feds are living up to their commitment.
Nowrose says Angoon leaders have been seeking a solution for about 10 years.
A lot of our work fell on deaf ears until March of this year. And the reason people were listening more intently in March was because we had filed a petition.
Nowrose says he can't give a detailed reaction to the federal government's rejection of that petition. That's because his board of directors has not yet met to discuss the issue. He expects that to happen soon. Saners, meanwhile, deny they're taking subsistence salmon from Angoon. They've opposed the petition all along. United Fishermen of Alaska Chief Administrator Mark Vinsel says the feds are right. Talks are the way to go.
We do appreciate that they defer to the recommendation of the subsistence board for the state management process to have an opportunity to engage with the Board of Fisheries and help make sure that all users get access to the fish.
Southeast Seiners Association Executive Director Bob Thorstenson, Jr. could not be reached for immediate comment. Pendleton of the Forest Service says the agency is looking for someone to bring the different interests together and moderate their meetings.
So we've begun to work to look at some possible third-party mediators, and we anticipate in the next few weeks to award a contract to a mediator.
She's optimistic negotiations will work and would not speculate on what might happen if they fail. The letter announcing the decision says federal officials will take other measures if the meetings do not solve the problem. In the meantime, the Forest Service has been planning to ease fish passage to Kanalku Lake, where Angoon residents harvest subsistence sockeyes. That could help increase the salmon population. Wayne Owen is the agency's wildlife, fish, and watershed director. He says plans call for construction of a variable fish ladder.
They can adjust the water flow to make it more or less easy for the fish to get up, you know, so that they can reach a certain biologically determined number of fish that return.
He says other action might be taken, such as fertilizing the lake, to increase fish production. That's what's been done at Sitka's Redoubt Lake, which feeds one of Southeast's most productive sport and subsistence salmon sites. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
You can find a link to the decision with this story on our website, kcaw.org. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and PA calls for mostly cloudy skies, scattered showers tapering off this afternoon, highs around 57, southwest winds 10 miles per hour. This is KCAW in Sitka.